Welcome to episode 270 of the Active Photographer Podcast, your behind-the-scenes glimpse into the day-to-day life of a working professional photographer, with me, Giles Babbage. In last week's show, I walked you through the kit used during a recent day-long photo shoot. Well, as promised, you now join me as I sit at my computer reviewing all the pictures which were submitted to the client in order for them to make a final selection. Having previously covered the technical side of things then, this edition is all about the various creative considerations, both at the time of the shoot and at the post-production stage. So welcome, one and all, to The Active Photographer, episode 270. Just after 2:30 on a Saturday afternoon as I record this, and I'm in my office. I've put in a few hours today just to catch up on things because I've not been feeling 100%. No great shakes, it happens, but of course you just have to keep on keeping on. Now, earlier in the week, I did a photo shoot, and I actually spoke about that in last week's show. Now, last week's show was talking about the kit that I used, and I, as I said, I was going to make another recording concentrating on the specifics of the pictures, the photography, the sort of technical location requirements on the day. So as I sit here at my desk, I've got Adobe Bridge in front of me, and I've got all of the pictures from the shoot. Totals 205 pictures. That was the final selection. I think I shot around about 240. So by the time we took out a few test shots and this, that and the other, that was the final selection for the proofing process. And out of that, 50 pictures will be the final edit. Now, the pictures as I look at them haven't been edited at all. And now when I say at all, they have not been given the final treatment. They have been given a couple of tweaks here and there on the odd picture now and then, just to make it as I would like to present it for the sake of a proof. Now, there's going to be a fair bit of work on these pictures to kind of get the mood, the sort of the depth to those. But, you know, working with the client, they are very much aware that this is pretty much as shot, and there are certain things that we might tweak, sort of take out a couple of bits here and there. I think, for example, there was one shot where he discovered that there was a mark on his white t-shirt, so of course we'll get rid of that. But really just trying to get the balance. But in the first instance, these are, for all intents and purposes, these are raw images that have not been edited. So let's look at the first shots here. We started at 5:30 in the morning, and that was the that was when my alarm went off. I was actually meeting up at 6:30. We had a short drive to a coastal location, and the sunrise was due to be at just about 7:20. In reality, it came just a little bit earlier than that, and the tide was pretty much halfway between high tide and low tide. So we had this wonderful pre-sunrise kind of colour in the sky, really nice kind of soft, sort of almost like billowy kind of clouds, had all the texture with the grounds that, of course, is normally submerged. You know, there was all the rocks and all this sort of thing. It just looked beautiful. And the first set of shots to do here, and it was the first location before we moved on once the light came up, this was some portraits. So just to give you some sort of an idea, I was shooting on a Nikon D800, and the ISO was ISO 400 for these opening shots, which were basically sort of a portrait with the subject back turned to the camera, looking towards the sunrise or before the sun had come up. And it was f5, 80th of a second, a third of a stop exposure compensation. And the subject is slightly out of focus, with the focus being on, well, not so much the horizon, but where there was the water, there was a little sort of a tender boat. So the focus sort of is in, on that mid distance. So it gives a real nice depth between the out of focus. I'd say subject, my client stood there. I suppose he is the subject of the shot, but he's not in focus, if that makes sense. You know, we did a number of those, and I'm just looking at the edit here. So there were probably maybe two or three more just sort of with test shots and, you know, that sort of thing. Kind of close in, I guess. I was shooting on a 24-70 lens, and have I got all the details? I don't usually... let's have a look. Have it all displayed on Adobe Bridge that I'm using at the moment. I would imagine it was around about 50mm setting. So on these initial shots, he was about taking up about a third of the frame, I guess. His head was all just over halfway up the frame, and he was off to the left third of the frame. Came a little bit wider for the following shot. This is in the sequence of these three shots, which are the three proofs of this. And then coming further back still. And by this point, the you know, it was getting ever so slightly lighter that morning. And this next shot here is a full length shot of him. And there's a few things in the mid-distance. There's that little boat there. There's a bit of a wreck of an old merchant ship, actually. You can't see much of it, but at low tide you can see it. Only sticks up a few feet, so it's not like a big shipwreck. But you know, the subject is positioned in this gap, basically looking towards where the sun is going to rise, the lightest part of the sky on the horizon. But he's just, you know, just in that position where the shape of his body, the semi-silhouette at this point, isn't interrupted by the silhouette of the wreck and the little boat there. Now, with the next shot, this is when it starts to get interesting. I brought out the flash gun, and that was set on a Manfrotto Nano stand. And I think in last week's show, I couldn't remember at the time what the name of that stand was. It's a really lightweight lighting stand. It's a Manfrotto Nano stand. And so my flash, my Nikon speed light there, the SB800, I talked about this in last week's show, that was set up with a pocket wizard trigger just off to camera left. So it was shot towards the subject, and I used sort of a homemade grid to kind of soften and focus the light so that it actually fell on the subject's face and upper body, and then just dropped down ever so slightly. So the flash was controlled with the aperture, which is f8, and the ambient is controlled with the shutter speed, which on this occasion was 125th. I always, with flash work, I switch the camera for the exposure completely to manual. This was ISO 640 at this point with a third of a stop exposure compensation. But I always turn it to F8, 250th of a second, and then work from there. So I work out the ratios of the flash to use the aperture that I want. So in this case, F8. And then just I extended the shutter speed a little bit to 125th of a second, just to bring in some of that ambient. So you've got this lovely kind of drop off of light sort of away from the subject towards the water and the muddy ground there. And obviously we've got just out of frame you're aware that the sun rises is about to happen. Now, something that is always worth bearing in mind, and you've probably seen this, and I certainly have seen this a lot of photographers, they try to be really clever with their lighting, and fair enough, you know, you can have multiple flash guns coming from multiple directions, giving multiple effects. I like to keep things really simple, and often I'll use maybe, typically, a total of maybe three flashes. And on this occasion, the main thing to remember, to keep it simple here, was this. It was a very gentle picture. Early morning, you know, it had a real kind of emotion and atmosphere to it. So I used the single light, but absolutely made sure that it came from the direction of the sun. Because if you have this lovely sunrise, but your flash, which is super overpowering, comes from the opposite side, the shadow side, that is not the natural way that the subject would be lit. So keeping it always in the same direction is key for this shot. Now, I'm not saying that you shouldn't use light to fill in shadows or have it on the side opposite the key light, so in this case the sun, but you know, you have to be sympathetic to the conditions, make sure that the output is suitable and it just looks right. And I think with this, you know, we've got a really nice kind of quality to the lighting here. The sun then started to get brighter. I pulled back, same lens, same camera setup, same lighting. I physically came further back from the subject just to kind of get in more of a wider view, shall we say, so the subject's off to one side slightly. And again, just really subtle light so it doesn't actually overpower the sunrise. You know, I could easily have, you know, darkened down the sky a lot more to be more dramatic, but I chose to do it very, you know, really quite subtly. So we had a few poses. He looked towards the camera. He had sort of three quarters towards the camera, his head off to, you know, looking off to one side, that sort of thing. And then I got him to turn essentially facing in the direction of the water and the sun. But I won't go into specifics as to why, but he then had his mobile phone as a prop and he was there, you know, head down looking towards his phone, and the light was just, again, just picking up the sort of the front surface, the front edge of him there. And there's much more detail in his coat and his trousers and everything, because there was generally more ambient light. So again, we're still at f8 and 125th of a second. But again, just very natural feel to this lighting. I then sort of moved around to be sort of more in front of him, I guess you would say. Just off to one side. The flash moved a little bit, but, you know, just really kind of just working these angles, trying a few different things. And, yeah, it worked out really nice. At this point, the light had broken the horizon. Yeah, I'm just having a quick look here. So, look, I'm just trying to see from the first shot that I took of him, according to the files here, to the last one. So about 20 minutes. So we kind of, you know, we just kind of were working our way through as the sun was slowly coming up, and had a couple more silhouettes. And then that was basically that. So next, you know, we were really hoping for that lovely warm glow once the sun had broken the horizon. But then it was sort of, whilst the day ended up pretty clear, there was this kind of, you know, early morning haze that you often get. You get it more in the warmer months, but, you know, you still get this haze, atmospheric haze. So that we had, you know, the subject was up against like a flint wall here, like along the sea defences. And just very, very subtle, not too contrasty. I can probably bring out some of the warmth, probably a bit more depth to that if I want. And we did a few shots, again, with the same setup, with the 24-70. You know, some shots of him kind of, you know, just filling the frame, some very front on, sort of really kind of three quarters or a quarter even. You know, so very simple kind of head and shoulder shots, essentially looking towards the camera, looking away, varying the pose. And then, you know, those pictures were okay. I quite liked them, but I thought I really want to, there's a certain look that I wanted, and it was much more to do with focusing on his eyes and, you know, drawing the viewer in. And so for that, I switched to my, my 35mm f1.8, I'm going to say. Yeah, my 35mm f1.8 Nikon lens, which is a fantastic lens. It is so sharp, it's light, it's a fast lens. And so these shots, I was shooting at f2.2 at ISO 400, and it was a 1/1600th of a second. And you've got the, you know, the sharpness on his eye, or the eye that was kind of, he's slightly looking off to one side, off to the right as we view the picture. And, you know, just really the focus, the depth of field, it just drops off nicely. It's, you know, just really nice, gentle shots. And it actually, I think, works better than the shots where we're trying to get him against the wall with the, you know, the sunlight there. So that was okay. So we did a few of those, and kind of enough was enough, really. We decided that we're going to move on. And first things first, we both needed to get a coffee. So needs must. We jumped in the car and we headed off down, right down to, again, down to the sea, but this time in Portsmouth. And for the next set of shots, we used, if you know the Hot Wall Studios down there, some artist studios there, they're kind of now, it's repurposed the old sort of naval sort of sea defences. And, you know, the texture in the old stonework, there's some old bars there. I'll not go into the details as to why we used this location, other than to say it was absolutely relevant to the subject and the story that we're trying to tell. Bear in mind, if you didn't listen to last week's show, this client was one who took advantage of my Outdoor Impact storytelling package. And as part of that, I offer the chance for my clients to come on the podcast to talk about the shoots, the story they're trying to tell about their business, their service, what have you. So we will be having a chat about, you know, what he's about, and the shots, and all this sort of thing. But it was just really nice. And these pictures, as I said right at the start, these pictures have hardly been tweaked at all. But these ones are going to be given a real sort of, you know, gritty kind of feel to them. They were essentially indoors. They're undercover, but with this arched window. Obviously no window, there's sort of metal railings like bars there. But, you know, really going to be playing around, bringing out those highlights, playing with those shadows. It's just a really nice kind of fluid shoot. We just wandered around. That there was one shot here where the light was shining through, and the shadow that shone onto the ground inside the building here was just amazing. So you had the shadows of the bars coming through. So we had the subject, he was posed there by the window, you know. And we just played around with ideas. It's always a two-way thing. We'd start off with, you know, we'd had a number of coffees, we'd sat down and had a few conversations using all different platforms, from Facebook Messenger through to phone calls to sitting down and having a drink and, you know, thrashing out some ideas. But on this occasion, it was the client who was leading the shoot. It was just the two of us bouncing ideas around, knowing what the message was behind the pictures, and just, you know, looking, reviewing as we went along and seeing what happened. So, you know, with these shots, there is a mix of vertical and horizontal, going wider, closer up, some detail shots. You know, just, it's one of those things, you know, as I look at these pictures, it's like him stood by this window here. Of course, I've sent him the proofs. And, you know, to look at them, you'd think, oh, okay, so here I am. Here's this character, he stood here, okay. But you might think, well, it doesn't really have the depth of meaning or the right feel. Well, of course, this is where communication between the photographer and the client is so important, because, you know, I don't do a lot of post-production, but the amount of work that I do at that stage, it's going to be helped no end by having this raw sort of like negative, as it were, this starting point. And I've exposed these pictures in a way that I can really add, you know, the detail, bring out the detail, like in the stonework and his clothes and all this sort of thing. And these, like I say, at this point, these are all just naturally lit. The light coming through this window, no flash, no fill light, there's no reflectors. Just very, very natural, kind of as it was. Some shots where he's full length, some where he's sat on the ground. Some are brighter than others. You know, the shots where there's this window taking up the majority or two-thirds of the frame, mostly let the camera take that brightness, so it underexposed him, apart from the highlights down, say, his face and arms, and obviously underexposed the stonework on the inside there. But then other shots where that wasn't the key driving force in the picture, they are much brighter, so it gives more options again to really kind of play around with tones and textures, and, you know, the focus being on him and his posture. And you know, there is light, it's kind of like a flare coming from the sun. Whilst you can't actually make out the sun, you can see that the light is creating this kind of haze, this flare coming through the aperture of this window space. So there's all that on these lighter pictures, which I'll be able to play with and really make the most of. Quite graphic pictures in terms of like the bars in the windows, especially when they're kind of out of focus a little bit. You know, so it's really... This is why I'm not going into absolute specifics about each shot here, because it is kind of repetition. It's a case of saying, okay, well, let's turn this way a little bit, step back, look up this way, just straighten your jumper a little bit, or just put your arm up there. And so, you know, that sort of thing, it wouldn't really mean much to you for me to talk through every single picture without you actually seeing. So, you know, we just kind of carried on, some really nice strong shots here. And then we kind of explored another area where they have these stone archways still within this inner space. And, you know, I noticed that the light, where there was a series of these arched windows at various intervals going along, somewhere in the middle there was this area where the light was coming down here, and I got the subject to stand in that light, so that light was just striking him. Now, unfortunately, it wasn't super bright at that point, otherwise it might have been a bit more kind of graphic, although I can kind of beef it up a little bit if I need to. But I basically got him stood on this point and made him sort of rotate round and stop, rotate and stop, rotate and stop. And so I did a range of pictures of him looking towards the light, sort of the light striking him side on, looking away. And then there was the opposite sides to where the light was coming in. So as we look at this, the window is on camera left, or subject left. To the right, it was just all open. There's no walls. So there was this essentially really nice fill light, a natural soft fill light that was lighting the side of his like arm and leg and face, of course. So we did that a couple of times, and, you know, it's just something a little bit different. Then we stepped outside, and by this point it was, It wasn't overcast, but it was bright, and of course we're right by the water there. And, you know, it was not a lot of detail. You could see the Isle of Wight in the background, but we just basically did some other shots of him across the whole of this. He had a number of changes of clothes for various reasons. So it was just him and jeans and a t-shirt and some casual shoes. Nothing clever. Literally just ISO 200, F8, 320th of a second. Just a mix of vertical and horizontal shots, full length or quarter length. A mix between the 24-70 and the 30mm. Lenses, and that was it. Just really nice sort of subtle shots. Just skip through a little bit. Just quite a few of those, so not a lot to say. Then we he had his sort of coat on again, like I suppose you call it maybe a dress coat, sort of a longer length, three-quarter length coat. Went and sat on the steps there, so he got a mix between him sat there with his modern-day clothes, jeans, jacket, T-shirt, sunglasses, and then the contrast between that and this stonework of these fortifications. Just really nice. There was a, where there was a doorway behind him, it was obviously deep in shadow, so I positioned him so that his head and shoulders were in that space, or rather, as I shot the pictures, maybe say a 70mm setting, so compressing the perspective a little bit, it just framed him nicely. A nice contrast between the brightness of his skin and t-shirt and then the darkness of the shadow area behind. We did some shots with glasses and without. They weren't mirrored glasses, so you could see his eyes just about through, but you always want to think about interaction between the viewer and the subject. So eyes are of course always good for that. Then short way after that, we actually went down onto the beach, and the tide was kind of in, I guess, a very stony, sort of pebbly beach. And he walked up onto the sort of supports under the sort of boardwalk bit there. So you got all that lovely texture from barnacles and seaweed and all this sort of thing. Again, just him kind of stood there leaning against the pillar, same clothing as in the last set of shots. A range of shots from wider to mid distance, a little bit closer up, vertical, horizontal, all this sort of thing. And there is of course room for cropping if needs be. And then after that, we decided to go up the Spinnaker Tower, which is this really big tower here on the south coast of the UK. It looks like a spinnaker sail, hence the name. And it's now I'm gonna have to see, let's have a look. I can never remember how tall this spinnaker tower is. Bear with me one second, see if I can have a quick look. It is 170 meters tall, and it has observation platforms. You go up in a lift, and you can see views all across Portsmouth, the dockyard, all that sort of thing. Yeah, if you're visiting the area, definitely go and have a look. It's well worth doing. I've been up there, numerous times. I've done photo shoots up there. They have a glass floor section, not the whole thing, but a section where you take your shoes off and you're encouraged to kind of walk across if you're feeling brave. And, so this was one of the shots that we started off with. The client, wanted to walk across there, so we did that. Technical considerations, it was very bright, obviously, because the structure, you are surrounded by windows, basically. So a lot of light coming in. He was wearing a white t-shirt. You know, had to be very careful not to overexpose or underexpose him, even against the bright sky. So just to give you an idea, shooting at ISO 400, shot here, which is f7.1. A bit of a funny intermediate aperture there. But a 1/250th of a second with a third of a stop exposure compensation. You know, just literally, I wasn't really posing him. I was just letting him walk around. He naturally wanted to throw a few poses, or kind of he had stuff in mind, like to do with the message that he was trying to get across. So, you know, I just moved around, zoomed out a bit or stepped further back. So you started to see, you know, some of the out towards the horizon and Portsmouth sort of out there behind him. So after those shots, I kind of went a little bit closer, got him kind of just stood there with his hands on this. There's a railing that goes all the way around. So that I suppose partly to stop people going right up to the glass, but also I suppose gives you a chance to kind of rest your hands and, you know, as you look out over the city. So you got some shots like that, shots of him just looking out into the distance somewhere. He stayed in the same position and then sort of turned his head towards me and slightly away and all this sort of thing. Then we did another set of shots where it was, you know, it's just him, jeans and t-shirt sort of thing. No glasses, changing around the like the spots within this, on this viewing platform, just get different backdrops and all this sort of thing. The visibility was so good. It was lovely to be able to have all that detail in the background. As so a shot here, I can see that you've got HMS Warrior, you've got the Victory in this is Portsmouth Historic Dockyard. You know, there's a few shots then with him with his jacket on. There's there are viewing telescopes. So kind of, you know, sort of posing with that. That sort of thing. And a few final ones to finish off. We then drove back to an area where I knew there was this underpass under the main dual carriageway. And you in the past, if you're a regular follower, you will have heard me talk about this location. And actually a more technical shot. There was a shot where it's going to be three of him in one picture. So we had to shoot it three ways, and the images are going to be sort of superimposed. I say three, I think four. So we did one shot, just give you the spec here. So, and this is going to be a very kind of grainy, sort of gritty picture. So I wasn't too worried about the ISO on this occasion. And because it was quite dark, it was ISO 4000, F11, 40th of a second, with a little bit of exposure compensation chucked in. So I took one shot, camera's on a tripod, a Manfrotto B3 carbon, just for because of its compact size and light weight for walking around everywhere. As details all about that sort of thing in last week's show. So the camera's on a tripod, did one shot of this underpass and the view that we're going to be setting up. Then the client came in and sort of posed and held his pose there. Then he moved to another spot, we did a shot, and another spot, did a shot, another spot, did a shot. And so those are going to be superimposed into one frame. And then just outside, once you kind of step out of there, there's just a, sort of this sort of a grassy or a leafy bank with trees there. So he wanted some shots sort of crouched down there, and I'll save you the details. It was just a, you know, 35mm lens. 35? Yeah. A 35mm lens. Yeah, just natural light, really. And that was basically it. Oh, we also did a tiny bit of behind the scenes video, just a literally sort of a couple of clips on my Canon G7X. Just in the underpass, but that was basically it. So yeah, just a very quick rundown of this shoot. So hopefully between last week's show, which talked about the kits that I was using, given that I was on my feet, we were constantly moving around, then talking about sort of the shots here, which were essentially portraits, you know, you've got a better sense now of, the bigger picture, you know, the whole process. I really can't wait to edit these pictures because I look at them and I think, yeah, they're nice, you know, they're well exposed, they're nicely framed, but once I can actually kind of go to work on those final 50 that he's going to be choosing, then I can really kind of get the feeling out of them. So it's a really kind of it's going to be an interesting process, this one. So that's basically it. As ever, if there's any questions about anything that I've spoken about here, anything to do with the kit or working with clients or locations or, I don't know, anything to do with how to protect your equipment in adverse weather or how to negotiate access to locations, anything like that, please always do let me know. But for now, I will leave it there. If you haven't already listened to last week's show, I'd certainly recommend that you do, as it offers a great balance to this one, covering the technical considerations of the shoot. You can check out all the show notes to this and other week's shows at theactivephotographer.com. If you'd like to get in touch directly, don't forget I'm on Twitter and Instagram at Giles Babbage. There's the Facebook page, facebook.com/theactivephotographer. Or, of course, send me a good old-fashioned email, giles@theactivephotographer.com. So thanks for listening, everyone. Take care, have a great week, and I will speak to you all very soon.